Levels, 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 check, check, check. Levels, 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 check, check, check. What's going on, successors? What's going on, successors? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. Hope you have an amazing day. I hope everything is off to a great start. I feel like I actually got a pretty good night's rest last night, so I'm excited about it. Family, we're going to go ahead and just roll in to our content today. Producer Britt is not with us today. Y'all heard her voice yesterday, okay? So she said, John, I'm gonna get some rest. I'm going to lock it in, and we're going to be back tomorrow, okay? So we're going to see her before the week is out prayerfully. So shoot her up in your prayers, just praying for her voice to come through and so that, you know, she can just be healthy and be restored and be the best Brit that she can be. So, y'all, like I said, we're going to go ahead and roll into our topics today. First and foremost, I want to go ahead and just get straight from the source because this was a pretty good clip I saw. And I was like, the people need to hear that. The successors need to hear that because it really encouraged me. So I'm going to play this clip really quick. And this clip comes from the Natalie from Now with Natalie, and the host is Natalie Manuel Lee. So we're going to go ahead and roll that clip, and after that we're going to come back, and y'all know how we got to do. We got to break it down. So this is straight from the source.
Why do you think some believers are going the other way?
Because we're afraid.
We're afraid. It's not easy to move in faith for things we hope for. It's not easy to turn the other cheek. It's not easy to wait. It's not easy to die to our own desires and allow the Lord to give us the desires of our heart. We keep thinking in our humanity, oh, he's going to give me what I want.
No, he's going to give you what you should desire. That's what he's going to give you. Your pursuit of him.
Whoa. Essence Atkins is the guest, and shout out to Natalie Manuel Lee for that interview and for that clip. So now hearing that, I want to go ahead and slide over to the text. And this text we pick up where Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. So this is Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 32 and verse 33, and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper from there. It says, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things." Okay. And all these things we're going to talk about during the breakdown. And it says, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you." What are these things, John? What are we talking about in the text? Okay, so just for context, the things that Jesus is talking about here in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, right before he gets to verse 32, 33, and then close it out with 34, he's talking about worrying about food. He's talking about worrying about clothes, talking about worrying about survival, comparing anxiety to the birds and the lilies, right? So this isn't just random advice. It's a response to the anxiety and the provision and the future. Okay, so when he says in the text, he says, and all of these things will get added to you. He's talking about those needs that we have, those essential needs that we have. And then when in verse 33, when he transitions, it says, seek first. So this is not casual, right? And he's even letting us know, seeking first, this is not even when it's convenient. This is ultimately the first, which is a priority, which is alignment, which is order. This is about what sits at the top of your decision tree. Before the money, before image, before influence, before metrics, followers, security, all of these things, seek first. Jesus is saying, put the kingdom at the top. And the second point that I want to break down for you is his kingdom, right? He says, seek first, and it says his kingdom. What's his kingdom? It's God's rule. It's God's way. It's God's agenda. It's not just going to church, right? That's not going to church and going through the motions and just clapping your hands because everybody else is clapping their hands and just shouting because everybody else is shouting. Nah, it's going through a process and considering, does this decision reflect God's character in my day-to-day life, the way that I'm operating? Is this building his will Or is this just building mine, right? These are questions that we can begin to ask ourselves on a day-to-day basis as we're going through life, right? And then the other question is, am I chasing impact or am I just focusing on the applause, right? And when we talk about impact, we're talking about things that have eternal value, things that are going beyond just us in the present day, right? Because this is some things that we want to think about as we're living our lives, as we're moving forward. This can be deep, y'all. This is a deep consideration, because you and I both know that we don't want to get to the end of our lives and then realize that the ladder that we were working up was attached to the wrong building. Yeah. Like really imagine that. Like all the time, all the effort, all the push, all the work that you were doing all along, that I was doing all along, is attached to everything in the way of the world and not attached to everything that's aligned with Christ. All right, let's keep on going. And then the third point I want to point out is his righteousness. We said seek first. We said his kingdom. And then the third part says his righteousness. What does that look like? It looks like living rightly. It looks like not a performative righteousness, not a curated righteousness, but operating actually in integrity, right? It's private character over public persona. We've all heard it said before, what's done in the dark will come to the light. And then the fourth part that I want to point out to us, it says, and all these things will be added. What are we talking about? What was Essence Atkins talking about? It says, this is not a prosperity gospel. It's a provisional promise. This is a promise for provision, providing what we'll need. Jesus is saying, if you would take time to prioritize me and get in alignment with God, he'll handle what you're anxious about. Provision ultimately follows priority. So family, today, what we can focus on, what we need to hear, what we need to know, just like the text says, seek ye first the kingdom. And like Essence Atkins was sharing in the clip I shared just before, there's a few things that we need to know and want to take away. That if we seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, he'll give us the desires of our heart. But here's the thing. Have you ever considered, are the desires of your heart even pure? Have you ever considered if the desires of your heart, my heart, our hearts, are they beneficial for the body, for the kingdom? So sometimes the things that we pursue and the things that we have a desire for, sometimes those things that we're striving for, sometimes God doesn't necessarily give us those things, but sometimes he just begins to work on and change our heart. The more we seek ye first the kingdom, the more we'll begin to look like Christ. And the more we begin to turn and look like Christ, then the more our desires will begin to look like Christ's desires. The more our desires will begin to look like the things that are we're curved and we're pushed and we're purposed in doing the things that's going to make our Father proud, which is Christ. So today I want you to be vigilant and just assessing and praying, God, can you make my heart align with your desires? Right? Not the other way around. God, can you align with my desires? That's not the prayer. The prayer is, God, can you make my heart align with your desires? Can you make me look more like you? So that ultimately you'll be pleased, you'll be glorified. But then the other part, y'all, oh, this is so good, because I had this revelation earlier this week. Then the other part is, then we'll be at ease, right? God's already at ease. God is good. Right. If he answers our prayer or not, he's good. He's not losing sleep at all. Well, he's not sleeping at all. But imagine if you were able to go through life at peace. Imagine you were able to go through life joyful. Imagine you were able to make decisions and do things and operate in your day-to-day, your business, your family, your work, whatever, and you're not stressed at all. That's an answered prayer, y'all. That's an answered prayer. Family, that's been straight from the source this morning. Wanted to share that with y'all because that clip really spoke to me. And I was like, ooh, she's talking real good. Essence Atkins is talking real good. So once again, shout out to Essence Atkins, and also shout out to Miss Natalie Manuel Lee. Then that clip was pulled from now with Natalie. Okay, so that was dope. So y'all, now we're gonna transition into some sports, and y'all know on Wednesday we have an abbreviated show because I have to go to work. So what we're gonna get ready to go into with some of this sports is just bringing up some things that you may or may not have known. Just what's going on, what's happening. For instance, did you know that the Seahawks are being sold after winning the Super Bowl? Let's go ahead and get into this clip. Let's go ahead and get into this. Because I saw this and I was like, oh, wow, that is something that I never knew. But I guess we're about to find out together. So let's go ahead and get into it.
And it has nothing to do.
Here we go.
After winning the Super Bowl, the Seahawks are being forced to sell the team. And it has nothing to do with football. Here's exactly why. The Seahawks don't have a traditional owner. They are controlled by a trust. The team belonged to Paul Allen, who passed away in 2018 and left behind an estate worth about $20 billion. In his will, he required that his major passion assets, including the Seahawks and the Portland Trailblazers, be sold and the money donated to charity. There was no deadline, which allowed his sister Jody Allen to run the team as trustee for several years. That delay is now ending. The NFL does not want franchises controlled by estates long term. League rules require a clear primary owner. Someone with at least a 30% stake who can be held fully accountable. An estate does not meet that standard, and the league has been pushing for the situation to be resolved. There was also a financial reason the team was not sold sooner. When Lumen Field was approved in 1997, the state helped fund the stadium. In return, a rule was added. If the Seahawks were sold for May 2024, the state of Washington would receive 10% of the sale price. On a team value around $5 billion, that would have cost the sellers about $500 million. That penalty made selling the team a bad financial move. That rule has now expired.
Yo, this is crazy. The stuff that we learn and the stuff that we know, and just seeing some of this stuff, like what? Some of these deals, it's like, what is going on in the world? Like, what is really happening? Like, what's really going on? So, look, yeah, I want to show you, but this is something that's more so, like, it's kind of funny. It's funny. But here we go. Check this out. Check this out. Your boy Travis Scott, after the Cleveland Cavaliers, go ahead and this is post game interview. Your boy James Harden.
We going to the yard. What are we doing? DMJ.
So look, we got Travis Scott jumping over the floor seats at the game, hopping on James Harden, showing his excitement. Talking about JH, DM, we going to the yard. So obviously he's happy about the trade, okay? Not many people may be, but Travis Scott is one person that's very happy about the trade. It said he was suspended on that graph, but I did my research, and it doesn't say that there's any suspension that actually is taking place there with Travis Scott. So shout out to him for being a fan. Shout out to him for rocking with James Harden like that. But now I want to get into some serious news. We seen something a few weeks ago, and we saw that Paul George was suspended for ketamine. Ketamine was the banned substance that Paul George used, and he was suspended for 25 games. God, that's a lot of games. But I did my research, and I was like, well, what's the big deal about ketamine? Like, what are some of the benefits that could have enhanced what he was doing to make this like a thing? So a few of the benefits, and I looked, and I was like, well, what are the – so one of them is increased endurance, okay? So users have anecdotally reported the feeling that they can perform exercises such as running for a longer duration of time before, quote-unquote, gassing out. So that would, that, you know, that I guess that would make sense for them to be able to suspend him. Also, it, one of the benefits is perceived strength increase. Some users reported feeling stronger, allowing them to outperform or perform more reps, i.e. push-ups, than they could do while sober. All right. And then lastly, it potentially improves psychological resilience, and it is suggested to help athletes manage stress, mental fatigue, and performance-related anxiety, right? So Paul George, 25-game suspension for using ketamine and ultimately violating the league's drug use policy, right? Their anti-drug use policy. So I wanted to update the people on that there, because I saw some clips of Paul George and the dunks that he was doing. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, there is definitely something to be said about that. But also what's going on under investigation right now is Oklahoma City Thunder, right? And they're under investigation for players' absences stemming from their February 4th game against the Spurs, okay? Against the Spurs. So OKC sat out 10 players due to injury during their nationally televised game, dressing 8 players in their 116-108 loss there. So, you know, of course, the NBA doesn't want to see stars sitting out, and the fans don't want to see stars sitting out. Imagine, you know, buying tickets to your favorite team's game and you don't get to see your favorite player. So, I mean, hey, I get it. What's the investigation about? Let's see what's going on. Let's see what's happening. So we'll find out more details and keep you updated as we come into that information. And as we keep in things sports, I want to hit on this clip here with Draymond Green. Producer Britt shot this over to me. And with Draymond Green, we all know Draymond Green is something else, but he has something to say here, and it's valid.
To see G League players at NBA All-Star Weekend, we first allowed G League players to be in a dunk contest. And trying to save the dunk contest, G League players all of a sudden become like players that play on All-Star Weekend. You have this G League team in this round-robin form of the rookie-sophomore game, and you got sophomores like a Ron Holland, rookies like a Will Richard don't get in because you have to get a G League player. Like that. Does not make any sense to me. I'm sorry, but these guys worked their ass off to get to the NBA. They're rookies and sophomores that played the rookie sophomore games. They back many years. And I'm going to lose my spot because y'all got to get a certain amount of G League guys in? I think that's insane. I like Mac McClung. Mac McClung came to training camp with us 1 year. Great kid. He should have never been in the NBA dunk contest if you're not on the NBA roster. That doesn't work. All of these things is gimmicks to try to save the All-Star game. But what's going on right now just isn't the answer. Either figure it out or let it go.
Big words by a big man, Draymond Green. He does have a valid point. I will. He does have a very valid point, right? It is the NBA All-Star game. It is the NBA dunk contest, not the G League dunk contest. And, you know, with all due respect, many people do come out to see the NBA dunk contest. And, if you pay money to see the NBA dunk contest, you want to see NBA players doing dunks in the contest. You don't want to see G League players. Yes, Mac McClung did put on a great show the past 2-3 years. However, he's going to perform in the dunk contest, but then after that, you're going to send him back to the G League? Come on, y'all. Like, NBA, yeah, like I don't know what it is that they need to do to figure it out, but something does need to be done, and the time is well overdue. But this is something we've seen happen with the NBA All-Star Weekend, something we've seen happen with Pro Bowl, with the Pro Bowl weekend, with the NFL. Like, is it just time to where these things aren't as valued anymore because there's some players opting out and some players just making the decision, nah, I'm not going to play. I'm going to keep training. Or, nah, I'm just going to skip out this year, right? Is there even merit to it anymore? Because at one point, you know, you're an NBA All-Star. That was a big thing. But now I feel like the tide is shifting. I think, like, I feel like some things are changing and moving. So this is something that I think is up for conversation. What do y'all think, right? Is it time for them to just do away with G League players coming into the NBA All-Star game? Because, and once again, with all due respect, because I know guys who played in the G League. I know guys who played in the league. And, like, they all work hard as hell. Like, for real. Like, G League and NBA, they are grinding it out like nobody's business. But the other factor is the NBA is the NBA, right? And the G League is the G League. So G League players should not have the benefit and the opportunity to be on the NBA All-Star stage when, like Draymond just said, when you got guys like Ron Holland and Will Pritchard who are in the NBA, they're suiting up night in and night out, and they might not get as many minutes as they deserve. But then when the All-Stars come around, those are guys who should be rookie and sophomore players on the team because that's what they are. So what are y'all's thoughts? Like, drop something down in the comments. I want to hear from y'all. I want to see what y'all are thinking. I want to hear what y'all's thought process is there. And we got a little bit more on Speaking Success Sports Tip. So what we got? Whoa. Charlie Woods. This is reported per ESPN. Charlie Woods, the son of 15-time major champion Tiger Woods. Tiger has verbally committed to play golf at Florida State and will be a member of their 2027 recruiting class. Okay, shout out to him, man. That's just exciting. We love to see it, right? Like father like son out here, man. Like father like son. Dang, that's dope to see, man. And then we got to see him grow up and everything like that, and now getting him to see him commit and getting ready to go down to Florida State and do his thing. I like it, man. I like it. Kudos to Charlie Woods, man. Get out there on the green. Let's go. I love it, man. I love it, man. And then lastly, I want to end with this here. This will be a Black History fact. But, man, as we know, you know, the Olympics is going on. Olympics going on right now, right meow. Layla Edwards, man, she's making history, becoming the first Black woman to score for Team USA in international hockey. Look at her out there. Bow, bow, go. Right, so Layla Edwards is not only the first Black woman to represent U.S. in the Olympic women's ice hockey, she also scored the fifth goal of the game with Canada at the 2026 Milano Cortia Games, right? So she's the first Black woman to score for the U.S. Olympic ice hockey team in the Olympics, man. Shout out to her. Shout out to Layla Edwards. What if we can get her on the show? Now, that'd be dope. If we can get her on the show, get an Olympian on the show, that would be dope. All right, family. So, look, that's going to go ahead and wrap us up. We got a slightly abbreviated show, like I said today. Your boy got to get to work. But other than that, y'all, I want to give y'all this encouraging word, man. I got an email yesterday, and I'll share more details as we get closer to the day. I don't want to speak about it just yet. But, man, just know, y'all, just know that it is possible for you to work an occupation to provide a living for your family, but at the same time, pursue your dreams, right? It is very, very, very possible. And I'm telling you that because I'm a guy who I've been working at a church for going on 3 years now. And I, as well as producer Britt, we produce services for the whole building, right? So for, you know, three different age groups, for the elementary, the babies, the middle school, high school, all that good stuff, and programming, all that good stuff. But while also doing that, we've even come here on the platform and shared. We've had opportunities to, you know, work with entities like Kirk Franklin and Maverick City Music and some other heavy players. But y'all, that has been happening outside of work hours, right? So going to work and then after that, you know, having the opportunity to then go to other sites and, you know, hop on a camera and go to other sites and do videography and even hop on this broadcast in the mornings and do a morning show from 6 a.m. Central Standard to 7 a.m. Central Standard every morning, Monday through Friday. It's possible. And I got an email yesterday that I was like, oh, this is crazy. So getting opportunities and ultimately making sure to make the most of the moment of the opportunity. I want to encourage somebody today. It's possible, y'all. I'm wearing this hat right here. This hat that says Paul Journey. This is Clemson. I got an email earlier, last year. And, you know, I had the opportunity to go up to Clemson, South Carolina and work with their football program. Awesome opportunity. So opportunities are all around us. You living your dream, it is possible, but it just comes with you making a decision saying, you know what? I want to pursue X. I want to pursue Y. And then you get clear on what that thing is and you start to take some steps. But just make sure that we seek ye first the kingdom and then all the other things will be added. And I'm saying that, y'all, because let me say this and then we out. Because I was in a spot to where I'm like, God, I got these cameras. I wanted to start the production company. I want to roll this thing out. But like, I feel like things ain't moving right now. Like and I talked with my therapist, Joe Corley. He said, John, he said that the challenge is you're developing internally, right? What can't be seen faster than you're developing externally. And I'm like, man, that's good. I'm gonna write that down, Joe. But at the same time, I was like, he's right. And he gave me some language to the things I've been dealing with, what I've been seeing. But how many of us is that the same case, right? You're growing on the inside. You're developing yourself. You're reading books. You're looking at programs and you're taking in information and growing. But the outside world can't just see it yet because you haven't had the opportunity just yet to be able to show those skills, to be able to show that understanding, be able to show that development and learning. And leadership. Well, keep on growing, y'all. Keep on growing. Keep on growing and keep on growing. Because at the end of the day, as you keep on growing, the opportunity will present itself to you for you to show where you've grown, how you've grown, and what you really can do. Just make sure you don't squander the opportunity. Family, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. I'm Jonathan Jones. This has been Speak Your Success in the Morning. Make sure you subscribe on our YouTube channel. Just type in Speak Your Success Media. And if you want to subscribe to the audio experience, then make sure that you find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and just type in Speak Your Success in the Morning. On behalf of myself and producer Britt, y'all, I hope you enjoyed today's show. And we're going to be right back with you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Central, all right? But remember, family, remember, 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 all right? Speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?